Thank you, sir. It's a privilege and a joy to be back once again. It's always a privilege to preach the gospel. It's a privilege to be saved by the grace of God. It's a privilege and an honor to be called of God to preach the gospel. And I know when the Lord got me, when He saved me, He didn't get anything special. I know that I got the good part. I got the special part. I got God's only begotten Son, full of grace and full of truth. He saved my soul where my soul was headed. He gave me salvation. He salvaged that which was going to be discarded. My soul was on its way to hell. But thank God, the Lord intervened and He saved me by His amazing, marvelous grace. And that's the only way to be saved, is salvation's by grace. It's not by the works of the law. It's not by any kind of religious formality that we may go through. And this world is riddled with religion, especially America, and actually all over the world. But I'm glad to know that I know the God of heaven, the great creator of heaven and earth and the sea and everything that's therein. And He created all the beasts of the field, the herbs of the ground, the grass, the fruit trees whose seed is in itself. And I mean, He created the seven seas. He created the seven continents. In 6 days, He created the heavens and the earth. And the seventh day, He rested. But mankind got separated from God. And Jesus came in this sin-cursed world to reconcile and bring us back to the Lord, to God Almighty, that we could have our sins forgiven. And it's by the blood that He shed at Calvary. It's only by the blood that washes away our sins, that could put us back in the good standing with God Almighty. God can't look down on sin, but Jesus bore our sins in His own body on the tree when He was crucified. He was poured out like water. He had no sin, but He shed His blood for us, and we can be clean through His blood, but you got to get blood washed. And I tell you, the blood of Jesus is the only thing on the earth that can wash away our sins. And I tell you, you can't find the blood, by the way, in the watery baptismal pool. By going down into that water is not going to save you. You got to be born again before you ever get into that water. I believe in getting baptized in the water, but I tell you, that's just an outward token. It's just a symbol of, you know, what you're doing there in the midst of the church in front of your loved ones. You're making an outward declaration, an outward statement. That's all that it is. It's a symbol showing what happened to you already when you got saved. Now, you get saved by, first of all, being preached to and the Holy Spirit convicting you of your sins. And then you responding in a positive way, calling on the name of Jesus Christ with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, being remorse and be sorrowful that you sinned against God, be willing to give up sin and be willing to give up this world and be willing to give up yourself and to deny yourself and to take up your cross. And that's how you get saved. That's how I got saved. I meant business with the Lord. I prayed those types of things. It wasn't a flowery prayer, but it was my prayer. And I poured out my whole heart to the Lord. And this poor man cried, and the Lord heard my cry. And He delivered me out of all my troubles. And He let me know that He delivered me out of all my troubles because His Spirit got alive in me. His peace came in. His joy came in. And I'm not confused about salvation. If there's one thing I do know, I know Jesus as my personal Savior. And I can take you back to when the Lord saved my soul. And I tell you, He's the baptizer. He's the Savior. He's the propitiation. And He personally got to come to you, and you got to have a personal experience in grace. And that happens in the midst of your prayer after you've been preached to. You got to pour out your whole heart and give up the world, give up yourself, and He'll save you. But so many people, they get confused by religion. They'll go to some church, and you'll have some preacher or pastor behind the pulpit who's not even saved himself. And I'm not throwing stones, it's just the truth. And Jesus said, the blind cannot lead the blind, they'll all fall into the ditch. And we've got a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. We've got a lot of people standing and preaching where they ought not and what they ought not. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're doing. They're spiritually illiterate. They don't know. They're just in error. And they've never been born again. And You can't preach the gospel if you don't have the Spirit of God in you. You can't preach the gospel unless you've been God called and God schooled and God sent. I tell you, you're an imposter. And we got a lot of imposters who know what they're doing, and their common denominator and what they're really after is people's money. That's why they got into the ministry, because they thought, well, they don't have to work as far as by the sweat of their brow. They can just sit in their little study, and they can bring forth great flowery sermons to tantalize and work on the emotions of the people's flesh in the congregation. And they're looking to someone to set them up. And they're living high on the hog, some of them. I'm talking about these lost evangelists out there on the television, and a lot of these preachers behind the pulpit. They're feasting off of the congregation, and they don't have a real job. They just are an imposter. And most of them, a lot of them, they know what they're doing. They're just patting their own back pocket, and they're foolish. But I tell you, there's some that are sincere about what they're doing, and sincere, but yet, like my pastor says, they're sincere, but sincerely wrong. And we have a lot of that today. We have a lot of people who's sincere, but sincerely wrong. And we have a lot of people who's willfully deceiving the people for, to pad their own back pocket. And I tell you, there are some out there who have been saved and who have been God called and God schooled and God sent. And I'm glad the Lord privileged me to sit underneath a God called preacher. And that's how I got saved. And the Lord saved my soul over almost 30 years ago. And he called me to preach to as well. And he's been schooling me. He's been teaching me. And through prayer and through study and through hearing the man of God and those elders that were before me in the Lord, I've learned from their experiences, and I went through things myself and obtained experiences myself in the valley, and just going through things and having some times with the Lord and exercising my faith and being built up. The Bible says being built up and exercising your faith, being built up in the Holy Ghost and adding unto your salvation, adding unto your faith. It talked about experiences, and experiences hope and so on and so forth. And we have to grow that way. We're saved by the grace of God, but we got to grow. We got to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. And yes, we got to drink the milk of the word. And then we got to get to where we're a little toddler, where we can start eating some of the table food, if you will. It's the same thing as with a newborn baby in this world. You can't give them strong meat. You can't give them things they have no teeth to chew with. They're a newborn babe in Christ, and they're only to be on milk. And there comes a time where they are able to stomach some small things, some crumbs and some so on and so forth, some baby food, if you will, and some applesauce and things like that. Even so, the same thing likewise as being born again as a newborn babe in Christ. We got to desire the sincere milk of the word, and then we get to a point where we can start stomaching the heavier things, and we go through things, we have experiences, and we don't grow overnight, and we don't have an office in the church as far as a position in the church overnight. But the Lord, he's the one that puts the body together, and he's the one that promotes, and God's got to do order, God's got to structure. And whenever we deviate from the due order of God, if we get out of context and don't do the word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, when it comes to the pastoral law, when it comes to anything that the Lord says, I mean, we've got to go after the blueprint. We've got to look at the manual, God's manual for man, the King James Version Bible. We got to look at what it says, and we can't deviate from it, and we can't just freelance, and we just can't pick and choose and cherry pick what we want to obey. The Bible says, them that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to them that is sin. And we've got to follow the Lord and desire the sincere milk of the word, and then grow, study, and show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I tell you, but there's a lot of confusion going on today. There's a lot of religiosity, if you will. I call it a revolving door of religion. We're living in a generation and a time frame, and in this era of time we live in, where people are pure in their own eyes. They only know about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about in general everybody. I'm talking about on the most part. And Jesus says a few will find the way to heaven, but most people are on the broad road that leads down to destruction, and many there be which are going in thereat. We've got a lot of blind leaders of the blind, and that the blind lead the blind, they'll all fall into the ditch. Jesus said, "My house should be called of all nations a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." We've got most churches, they're not real churches of God. They're not a part, and they're not linked with the true body of believers. They're just a Christian in name only. They got a cross on the top of that church, but Jesus is not in there. And I tell you, the Bible talked about that in Revelation chapter 3, the lateral sea and church age. It was a parallel in what the end time church would look like. And it talked about, and you just read those scriptures over there in Revelation chapter 3. Where was Jesus? Jesus was not on the inside of the church. Jesus was on the outside of the church door, knocking on the door, trying to get in, knocking on the front door of the church, but they shut him out. And I tell you, you shut the Lord out when you shut his word out. But I tell you that most of these churches are they got a false preacher behind the pulpit, like I said, and some are sincere and some are sincerely wrong, and there's some saved and some are called of God. And the some that are saved and called of God, they're not living right. And so therefore, there's more confusion in that way. And I'm talking about, you just look at the family today. You look at society today. You just look around. I tell you, it's sad. I tell you, there's really no real preaching going on. I'm talking about real preaching. I'm talking about real preaching from the old time where preachers used to stand and preach, you know, and with a backbone, and they would cry out and spare not. And I preach that way whenever the Lord gives it. But I tell you, my heart is grieved for a lost and a dying world because there's not much real preaching. I said real preaching going on. I tell you, there's a lot of mockery. There's a lot of just things bubbling up from the pulpit. They're offering polluted bread upon God's altar, and the people are eating it, and they're not getting nurtured. They're getting confused. We got a lot of people going to these nursing homes and jail services, and a lot of people standing behind the pulpit and on the radio airwaves and on the television, and they're just speaking. They're bumping their gums. There's no spirit in them. There's no Holy Spirit in them. There's no divine nature. They don't have a new heart. They've never been transformed and changed. They're not being led of the Holy Spirit. And they're just playing church. They're just doing things on their own accord. They're not being led of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, the blind is leading the blind. And the blind man can't lead the blind man. The Bible talked about, spiritually speaking, they'll both fall into the ditch. If the pastor's blind, he can't help win the first soul in the congregation, the whole congregation. If they follow that blind pastor or person standing, then they're all going to wind up dying in their sins and going to hell if they don't come to the knowledge of the truth somehow, some way. They must get out of there, and they must hear the truth. They must receive the truth when they hear it. God have mercy. It's easy to be saved, but I tell you, you got to hear the gospel. I see my time's already quickly come and gone. God bless you, my dear friend, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.